السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق اللہ العظیم. علماء کرام، موسٹ ریسپیکٹڈ برادرز، ان ٹوڈیز جمعہ ٹاک آئی وش ٹو ریپیٹ سم تھنگ دیٹ آئی ہیڈ ڈسکسڈ ان ون آف دا مجلسز ریسنٹلی. اٹ از ویری ریلیونٹ ٹو آور ٹائمز اینڈ ٹو آل آف اس. دا جمعہ ٹائم از ویری لمیٹڈ، وی ہیو پلس مائنس 20 منٹس، اینڈ اٹ از امپورٹنٹ اینڈ نیسسری that a message should be given to the Ummah. Indeed, what is happening in Jenin, in Ramallah, in other parts of Palestine, in Afghanistan, in Kashmir, and the terrible, horrific tortures that took place in India, and the burning and the looting and the arson, are all cause of concern. It should be discussed, and we should guide the people as to what should be done in such difficult times. So alhamdulillah, that is taking place. Many people are engaged in informing the Ummah of what is happening around the world, and in fact there's hardly anyone who does not know what is happening. But when it comes to personal life, or when it comes to changes in our own individual lives, then not much is mentioned about that. So we take this opportunity of Jumu'ah to convey some message or the other which will bring about an improvement in our own lives, because the conditions around the world will change when the individuals will change, when the whole Ummah will change. And what is the Ummah? The Ummah consists of individuals. So what I wish to discuss today is some nasihat, some advice that Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the uncle of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gave to his beloved son Hazrat Abdullah. Those who know hadith, they know what virtues have been mentioned, or what fazilat has been given to Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Also in tafsir, we know that his tafsir forms the basis of all other tafasir. He was, Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the uncle of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So his son Hazrat Abdullah, who was very young, but Allah ta'ala had given him great knowledge, great kamalat. So this father, the uncle of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, gave some beautiful advice to his son, whom Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu took into confidence. When Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu noticed that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, during his time, is taking the mashwara, the advice, the opinion of Hazrat Abdullah, then he gave him some nasihat and advice, because he saw that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Amirul Mu'mineen, he is taking this young person into confidence. They were great people, they were learned people, they were elderly people amongst them. But Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, besides the others, he took Hazrat Abdullah into confidence and asked him for his opinion, his rai, his mashwara in many matters. From here we learn that age is not all that counts. It is not the age factor that counts when it comes to opinion, when it comes to mashwara, when it comes to seeking advice of a person. Sometimes a person can be very elderly. He could be in his 80s, he could be in his 70s, he could be even more or less, but his advice is of no worth at all, because he hasn't purified his soul, he hasn't made any effort to subdue nafs and shaitan. He himself is influenced tremendously by nafs and shaitan. So now when you are going to ask such a person for an opinion, what kind of an opinion is he going to give? Because he is already under the influence of nafs and shaitan. There are so many people that we read of that they are committing adultery in their elderly ages. In the 60s and 70s they are committing adultery. And not only adultery, they are abusing their own granddaughters. Their own grandchildren are being abused by such grandfathers. What kind of opinion will such grandfathers give then? Ah, what times we are living in now. What we have to read is very shocking. And I'm not talking about those monkeys of the West that we always talk about. I'm talking about those who have got some sort of understanding of deen. They are elderly, but nafs and shaitan has gripped them. So this age is not a factor when it comes to mashwara, when it comes to opinion, when it comes to advice and nasihat. You seek it from those people, whether they are young or whether they are old, but they have got taqwa in them, they have got piety in them, they've got Allah Ta'ala's khawf and muhabbat in them, then you seek advice from them. So here Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala gave us, or set the precedent, and in fact it was set long before that, in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to take the advice of Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. Now seeing that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas has become very close to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, so his father, the uncle of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he gives him these advices. The first thing he says that I see and I notice that you have become very close to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala expresses great amount of confidence in your views, in your opinions. That Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala seems to take a great liking to you. He says, I have noticed that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, in spite of there being so many elderly people, but he contacts you and he consults you and asks you for your opinion in various matters. So what you should do is that you should not expose any secret of his. Let there be no exposure of any secret or any raz of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. If he has told you anything in confidence and he has said that I am telling you this in confidence, that you must keep it to yourself, then there must be no exposure. I'm just giving you an explanation now. That there must be no exposure of that. Our weakness is this, that if any person has to tell us that I am telling this to you and you must not say it to anybody else, then we will go and tell the next person, I'm saying it to you, but please make sure you don't say it to anybody else. And that person will say it to the third person and it will spread. And there will be nothing left as a secret anymore. So the person who cannot keep his own secret, he cannot expect other people to keep the secret. But when it comes to hukumat, when it comes to government, when it comes to community affairs and matters, then there are many things that have to be discussed with the people. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was discussing and consulting Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas, the young person. So his father says that don't expose any secrets. Anything that he has told you in confidence, then let it be in confidence. Al-majalisu bil amana. If anything is discussed in a majlis which is of amanat, of trust, unless of course that majlis or that group or that gathering has discussed those matters which will cause harm to somebody else, it will cause some harm, it will infringe upon the rights of someone, it will trample upon the rights of others, it may lead to murder, it may lead to fraud, it could lead to any other kind of evil, then there it is necessary to go and inform the other person that there has been a planning by these people to attack you, to rob you, to hijack your car, or to take you fraudulently for a ride. So those things we will inform. But other matters which are discussed in confidence, then it must remain as an amanat. If the person does not keep it as an amanat, then it is a major sin. This is where unfortunately our ummah has suffered tremendously in this area and in this field. Take the governments of the Muslim world. There is nothing as amanat or trust. Anything that is discussed there, within seconds America comes to know, Russia comes to know, China comes to know, and the whole world comes to know. And also, those people who were arrested in Afghanistan, and many of those who lost their lives in Palestine and other parts of the world, those who were the Mujahideen of Islam, most of them, they lost their lives and they were arrested because of the spying, because of the exposure of secrets, that they took people into confidence that these people look like good Muslims. They are dressed like us, they make namaz like us, and they talk like us. So therefore we can reveal to them what are our hiding places, or what ammunition we have, or what kind of preparation we have made to fight the enemies of Islam who are looting, robbing, killing, murdering, assassinating, bombing. But those very people that they took into confidence were the ones who exposed those secrets. All these people that were arrested and are in Cuba now, it was not any greatness of the American forces. It was the same friends of these people who betrayed the trust that was placed in them, the exposure of secrets. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was taking into confidence this young person, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu tells him that one thing you must remember very clearly, that if you hear anything from Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu which is a secret, then do not expose it. Do not reveal it to others. Do not convey it to others. Keep it in your heart and die with it. So that is the first nasihat. Now this itself can be discussed at length. But the next nasihat that he makes, he says that since Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is placing his confidence and trust in you, O my young son, therefore you must remember that you must not be found to tell a lie at any time. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu must not experience you telling a lie. Now this is the nasihat he is giving to his son, that you are being placed in a high position, you are enjoying trust. So therefore you must not speak any lies in front of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Say the truth as it is. If he has to ask you with regards to any matter, then there must be no lies. Now this is not the nasihat only for him, it is for all of us. That those people who take us into trust and confidence, then they must not experience us telling any kind of lie. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when the person speaks lie, the angel of rahmat runs away 1 mile from the person. There's a stench that comes out with that lie. Yet look at Shariat and look at deen, how beautiful it is that when it comes to reconciling two parties that have got differences and that are fighting and arguing, whether it's husband and wife or two brothers or sisters in the Muslim community, then there to speak what we term as white lies is not only permissible, it is rewarded. Because it is so important that there should be unity between husband and wife. Sometimes husbands and wives, the person has spoken a little bit of lie this side and a little bit of lie that side to reconcile them. But some people, due to their misunderstanding, then they make that an issue. They say, but yes, you spoke a lie. Whereas it was intended to patch them up. Now here we are talking about those lies which all of us know. So that kind of lie, we have discussed many, many times that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said that a Muslim can have other weakness, but he will not have this weakness of lying. And then this lying is not only restricted to a few words which we speak, which are not truthful, but the person's whole life, there must be no lies. He must not project something else on the outside and be something else on the inside. Hazrat Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that nifaq jo hai is zamane ka sikka ra'ijul waqt hai. He says hypocrisy is the currency of our time. That the person is misleading. Outwardly he projects an image of piety, of taqwa. The person who is now going to deal with him gets the impression that I am dealing with a very honest and a very truthful person, just because he sees his outward garb of piety. But in the meantime, this person has got no intention of entering into an agreement which will be based on trust and truthfulness. this whole deal turns sour afterwards. Then those people, instead of criticizing that individual, then they say criticize the beard, they criticize the hat, they criticize the turban, they criticize the garb. Whereas that individual is the person who is fault, who has committed the mistake, or he is the one that is blameworthy, not his beard and not his garb. If a Haji Saab goes and commits theft, then we do not say that every Haji Saab is a thief. We will say that that person who went in the garb of a Haji Saab or in the ihram, towels, but he went there for stealing, so you should blame him and don't blame the ihram. Nevertheless, so this is the second thing that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu Khadim, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I'm calling him Khadim because he took him into confidence. So Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu tells him that since he is taking you into confidence, although you are a young person and he is giving you a high position of trust, so therefore you should not say anything that will be a lie. He says, never ever speak a lie to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then the third thing he says, oh my dear son, don't make ghibat of anybody to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Don't go and backbite and tell tales about somebody else to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Unless of course it is relevant to the situation. If a woman has to go and ask a mufti sahab a fatwa with regards to a certain matter and she will say my husband did this or did that, then that is permissible. Or if there's a dispute between two brothers and they have to go to some qazi or judge and say that my brother, this is what he did, then that is permissible. But we are talking about backbiting, where the person is just talking ill of someone behind his back, that if that person has to come to know, then he will be offended. Now how many times we have heard of the harm of this backbiting? Allah Ta'ala declares in the Quran Sharif that it is like the eating of the flesh of one's dead brother. Now what could be more worse than that? That the person's dead brother, now this person is eating his flesh. That's how serious it is. But as you heard Hazrat mention the other night, that if somebody has made ghibat of someone, then it, and that person hasn't come to know about it, then it will be stupid and foolish to now go and tell him that I made this ghibat of you, so make me maaf. Because up till now he didn't know about it. Now you go and tell him, so it will hurt him. So if you made ghibat of somebody somewhere and that person hasn't heard of it, he hasn't come to know of it, then the procedure is this, that those people to whom or in front of whom you have mentioned such kind of evil things about that person, just tell them that no, what I mentioned was not the truth and it was just ghibat, and he has a lot of good qualities in him. Allah Ta'ala will make this person maaf. And better still, read 3 times Qul Huwallah and send the sawab to that person. But if that person has come to know about that ghibat, then we have to ask that person for forgiveness. So nevertheless, he says that now, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, since he is taking you into confidence, and he's taking your mashwara and your eye, so don't make ghibat about others to him. Because what will happen is that if the person keeps on making some ghibat of someone or the other to someone that is in authority, then that person's heart could become affected because he hasn't heard the other side of the story. So he says at such a time, don't make ghibat. Unnecessarily don't say anything to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, especially that which will fall under the category of ghibat. Just to go quickly on to each one of this, we can discuss at length. Then Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that, look my dear son, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is trusting you. So you must not make khayanat in the trust. You must not betray the trust that he places in you. There's a trust that he has placed in you, now you must not betray that trust. Now we can extend this to everything in our lives. How many of us are in position of trust, or in fact in every one of us we are in a position of trust. We have been entrusted, our wives, our children, our properties, the businesses that we work for, the companies that we serve, those who are teaching at the schools, the doctors, the lawyers, everyone has got this trust. The client places his trust. The children place their trust in the parents. The pupils place their trust in the teachers. The patient places his trust in the hands of the doctors. So we must not betray that trust in any way. There are so many secrets of a company, but the person that is working there, he is getting all that secrets and is supplying it to the other companies, and is betraying that trust. So many people have been given a certain amount of privilege that you can use the telephone call for some local call if it is necessary whilst you are a manager. Now that person is sitting and making calls all over the world. He betrays the trust and he doesn't even consider it as anything. There are so many people who take sick notes and sick leave. They get a doctor's note and we know that it is a false one. Especially in England and other places, it is so common that people get these type of sick leave notes, and after that they engage themselves in a lot of deen work. And they take salary which is not rightly due to them. Yes. So this is something that is also we do not take consideration of. Whereas it is khiyanat. How can we ever get the noor of our amal, and how can we ever get the noor of our ibadat if we are going to be doing it through khiyanat, betraying the trust. Sometimes a person comes and he says that he wants a testimonial. Now he is our family member and we are in a position of trust and we are in a position of authority, and we know that if we have to write a few lines, this person will get that job. Now being our nephew or that person is our cousin, now we give him a testimonial. I am well aware of him. He is very sound of mind and is very honest and truthful and reliable, and you can give him any job that you wish to, and yet we know that that person is not truthful, is not reliable. Or if a person is querying about someone, that someone has brought a proposal for my daughter in marriage, and I wish to know from you that what do you have to say regarding this cousin of yours, this nephew of yours, this brother of yours. Now there again we will betray the trust and we will give all sorts of false stories. So it goes across the board. There are so many places where this rule will apply. So Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu tells his son, he says that don't let Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu find you betraying the trust. What a nasihat he gives him. And then he tells him that do not ever disobey Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Because he is Amirul Mu'mineen. And he was not like one of our amirs of our Muslim states. We know Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what position he held. So he says, do not disobey him, because disobedience to him will be disobedient to Allah ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now these five nasihats he gave to his son, each one of them is a gem, and each one of them we can discuss for hours. But if somebody just takes these five nasihats, then his life will be a life of piety, of righteousness, of taqwa, of purity. Because there will be what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned in one hadith of his, which you have heard many times, that the ayat or the signs of a munafiq are three. إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبَ وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ وَإِذَا تُمِنَ خَانَ. That when the person speaks, he speaks lies. When he makes promises, he breaks the promise. And when he's entrusted, he betrays the trust. And in another one, when he starts, enters into some argument, then he uses vulgar language. Now these are signs of munafiqs. So how can somebody who is being trusted by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu have any sign of nifaq in him? That was the whole issue. Hazrat Shabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in Ahya ul Ulum, it is mentioned that he stated that this nasihat of Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu to his son Hazrat Abdullah, each one of them is worth 1,000 nasihats. Each one of them, if you have to give 1,000 nasihats, each one of them is worth it. That shows that even if we just take the first one, it will be sufficient for our islah. So why I mention this is that we can see that the destruction of the Muslim ummah around the world, the major role that is being played in this destruction is by those people who are being placed in positions of trust. That people trusted them, that these will be the people who will lead the ummah, they will protect the ummah, they will sacrifice for the ummah, they will fight for the ummah, they will send their forces for the ummah. They were placed in positions of trust, but they betrayed the trust. They have observed and they have watched the destruction of masajid by the hundreds. They have observed the destruction of lives by the thousands. They have observed Masjid-e-Aqsa being on the verge of being taken away. Everything is being observed. But the position of trust that they hold, they have betrayed that trust. That is one. And the other one, as I mentioned earlier on, that most of those people who have been arrested, they have been arrested because they have been betrayed. The trust that was placed in those friends, or so-called friends, those friends are the ones who betrayed them. And they were the ones that pointed out that this is where the Arabs are living. This is where you can catch the Muslims who are called fundamentalists and who are called terrorists. So my dear brothers, in conclusion, I wish to state that when people keep asking, what should we do, what should we do, who does not know what should we do? If you are around that area and you have the expertise and you have the knowledge and you have the training to join the brothers in jihad, then I tell you openly and clearly and loudly that you should join the jihad. But if you are far away or you do not have that training, we do not have that kind of capacity to go and defend these institutions of Islam and Deen, the Sha'air of Islam, then we should make a lot of dua. We should make plenty of istighfar and tawbah ourselves and make a lot of dua. There's only two things. Either you make sabr or you make jihad. All the other things will aid and help to some extent. But otherwise there's only two things that we can do. Yes, financial help and all other help that we can render, we will help. But nothing else will help them much more from a distance than our du'as. And don't wait, I have repeatedly said, for the du'a of the imam after the namaz. If some imam after the namaz didn't make du'a for Palestine, then we say, well, he doesn't worry about Palestine. It's not that. We do not know how much of du'a that imam is making, or those mashayikh are making, or those Sulaha and pious ones are making in their tahajjud prayers, in their ishraq, in their chash, in their awabin. Night time sometimes they cannot sleep when they hear of what is happening, or when they have to read what is happening, or when they have to recall what is happening. Their food they cannot digest, they cannot eat, their appetites are lost. What do we know what they go through for the sake of the ummah, and how much they are crying before Allah Ta'ala for the ummah? Whatever you find still those people surviving, it's because of their du'as. Because you cannot please Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala by those means which are the cause of His displeasure and expect Allah Ta'ala's help and rahmat to come. So we as individuals, each and every one of us, we must make it our ma'mulat. People ask for ma'mulat. That is the ma'mulat. That make a lot of du'a for them. Cry, beg Allah Ta'ala. Express before Allah Ta'ala our weakness, our helplessness. That Ya Allah, we should rather drown in shame that our brothers are being slaughtered in this manner and we cannot even do anything, we cannot even come to their assistance. The only thing we can do is sit here and make dua for them. And we should take lessons that whatever is happening around the world, it's not only around there, it can happen anywhere in the world. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bless us all with the best of dunya and akhirat, and remove the difficulties, trials and hardships of the Muslim Ummah all around the world. Wa akhiru da'wana.